It's a good evening. Good to see some visitors. Welcome here with us this evening. We're busy with a four-part series. We're calling it Winning at Work. So you are, if this is your first time, then you're falling in at the end of the series. But do not worry. I trust it will still bless you. Okay, so there you have it, Winning at Work. And unfortunately, many of us don't feel like winning, that as if we're winning at work. Many of us struggle. Many of us even, maybe you're succeeding in work, but you're still stressed, worried, lying awake at night sometimes. And so we've been talking about different facets of the workplace and succeeding in the workplace. So the first evening, the first Sunday, we spoke about God is the boss. You think you're working for a specific boss, but it's not so. God is above that boss. He is actually the one in control. He reigns and rules. He is the King of Kings. And so He is in control of our lives. He in determines our future and our destiny. People don't. Even our boss, earthly boss, doesn't. But sometimes it feels like it. You know, you feel vulnerable. You feel as if your boss has control over your life. But in a sense, they don't. If you realize that God Almighty is the true boss. And then Sonika, my wife, she ministered about patient endurance. Always a challenge when you're going through a difficult time at work. So don't give up. And then last week I shared about God is the source. So I shared that basically currently your current work, or maybe your parents, or maybe your husband, or maybe your wife, they are providing the money, the finances in your life, but that's merely the channel. God is the source. And so the source stays consistent, although the channel might change. You might change job, you might lose your job, but God is still the source and He will provide another channel for you. And that takes faith, trust, to trust in God and say, Lord, I trust in You. And so this evening, I want to take it one step further and I want to share a bit about stepping into God's dimension. On Monday evening, we were praying, and this sort of just dropped into my heart. It sort of just settled in my heart about stepping or living in God's dimension. And I sort of been thinking through it this week, and I want to share a little bit about that. You see, you and I can live by our own natural resources. You live by your own strength. You work by your own strength. You trust in your own ability. When you get up in the morning, you have to make the day at work happen. You have to make it work. But that's not what God has destined it to be like. He's always wanted it to be where God is at work. Doesn't mean you don't work hard. It just means that there is supernatural results for your effort. There is a good return on your investment. And so I want to share a few thoughts about that, of moving out of just trusting in your own resources, trusting in your own abilities, just looking at the little bit you have and saying, well, that's all I've got, so, and actually looking at the size of God's provisions, look at the size of God's capability and actually trusting in that. You see, so many of us sort of, if you go read the scriptures, it's quite interesting. Most of the time, most of the stories in the Bible, it sort of kicks off somewhere where the people are sort of backs against the wall. They're in trouble. It doesn't look good. There's armies from every side. They don't know how they're going to get out. They don't know what they're going to do. They just don't know what's going to happen. And then something happens. There's a sudden change in circumstances, a sudden turnaround in the state of Israel, sudden turnaround in the state of somebody's life, sudden turnaround in somebody's life. And I don't know where you are this evening. I don't know the state of your life or your workplace. Maybe you're studying, maybe you're working, maybe you're a housewife, maybe you're looking after your children. I don't know where you're at, but, and I don't know where you find yourself on an emotional level. Maybe you're despairing. Maybe you're positive. Maybe you're excited. Maybe you're just going through life, usual, same old, same old. You don't even expect God to move at the work. You just go, you get your paycheck, and you leave. And you say, yay, thank you, God, it's weekend. It's a long weekend. Okay, so that's good news. No working tomorrow. So just chilling out tomorrow. But in general, we don't expect God. We don't expect supernatural resources in our workplace. But if I read the scriptures, I'm seeing God is wanting to be there. He's wanting to be at work. He's wanting to be there for you and cause you to win. Okay, so what is the God dimension? The God dimension is where we win. We want to win at work. The God dimension is where we win at work because God is there. That's where God reigns. That's where God operates. That's where miracles start happening. Yesterday I went to a wedding in the Transkei. Nelson Mandela's grandson got married. I didn't know it was a wedding. I just got invited to a private function with Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela never pitched. It was a wedding. And all these important people. But it was chaos. It was supposed to be at Nelson Mandela's house, and then it was an off-road track, an hour off-road with my little Corsa. I've never driven on such a bad road in my life with a non-4x4 vehicle. And so all the other mercs and all the other important people, politicians and people from Madagascar and France and Sweden and all these big names were there. Man, I was ashamed of South Africa. Somebody didn't focus. So it was supposed to start around 10. Around 3 o'clock, we actually got into the venue. There was no drinks. There was no water. They were slaughtering cattle for some reason. And it was really confusing. And then they had these guys from Durban. They had a big Spitfire, 10 lambs. And they were supposed to give the meat over to the caterer. And then the caterer said, sorry, I don't have any stuff to hold this, all the meat. It was a mountain of meat. So I just went and took some. But it was confusing. It was dear Makar. It was, and I'm thinking, Lord, this is the future. This is our current leadership of the country. And I honor and I respect, and everyone to speak negatively about our country or our leaders. But I have new vision to reach the young people of this nation, especially of the black color. You know, we may just get them and get their heads straight by the time they reach government. Because it's just unbelievable. I'm sure primary school children could have done a better planning thing of it. But anyway, so that was yesterday. I drove 7 hours on the road to not see Nelson Mandela. That was great. And so here we are today. But I'm telling you, somebody's not working in government. So we're talking about work. Somebody's not focused. Somebody's not productive. And that really needs to change, you know. So that's why I enjoy ministering to the young people as well, because we need to reach them. So by the time they get there, they're focused. Okay, but so I want to take you back. Dion shared something at prayer on Monday, and it sort of dropped in my heart about Genesis 3, verse 17 to 19. It speaks of originally of this something going wrong in terms of the workplace, and this word cursed comes up there in the Bible, you know, and let me read that to you. It's Adam and Eve, and they disobeyed the voice of God. And then it says, then Adam, he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife. Now you can take that passage and create a theology about not listening to your wife, because this is big trouble. This is big trouble. Okay, I'm kidding. If she leads you astray, don't listen. But otherwise, listen. It's good for your health. Okay, but because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground. Cursed is the ground. Now, if you're a farmer, the ground is the place where your produce will come from. That is where your investment, if you've invested seed, you should get a good return of fruit, of whatever which should be coming from the ground. And it says that in cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face, that sounds wonderful. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. But here at the beginning, where original man sinned, there was a curse spoken over the workplace. If you're a farmer, it's the ground. If you're working somewhere else, there's this thing about you're going to really, really, really work hard, and you're going to really, really, really struggle, and you're just going to get by. That's sort of what God said because of their disobedience. And so the ability to produce was minimized. The ability to be effective, to be productive, and that's sort of how I felt yesterday at this wedding. I felt like this isn't working. Okay. But the reason this happened was Adam disobeyed God's voice. Okay. Now, what about this thing about cursed in the workplace? Let me give you a bit of a... Do you think God wants it to stay like that? No. But that's, I think, how many people experience the workplace. They're just struggling in their own ability. Okay, now let's look at this. Cursed in the workplace. Sort of a picture I want to paint you about Gideon and the Midianites. I'm just going to share it. There will be a scripture up there. Judges 6, verse 4 to 6. But it says, I'm just going to read the first bit there. And it says, then they would encamp, this is the Midianites, against the Israelites and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock, their tents, and all the other things, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Okay, let me paint it for you. The Israelites, they were taking the land, and the promised land. This is a land that would flow with milk and honey. And so they came, they took the land, and at some stage they started to veer off. They didn't listen to the voice of God anymore, so they were veering off. And then it says, and God committed them over into the hands of the Midianites. And the Midianites came, and they basically destroyed the produce of the earth. And so they were struggling. The Israelites, they would just plant, and they would be messed up. And they would have cattle, and their cattle would be taken. And it's this thing about, it's sort of for me a picture of being cursed. It's not working. It's not effective. It's impoverished and struggling. And then in verse 10, which isn't there, it sort of explains to them why this happened. The prophet comes and says, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God, because you veered off, now the curse has returned. The original curse has returned. And then in Judges chapter 6, verse 11 to 14, you find a scenario. Gideon is threshing the wheat. He's sorting out the wheat, splitting the parts of the wheat that he needs for produce. And he's doing this inside of a wine vat. So he's hiding away. He's hiding away because it says there in the scripture there, while Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now you must see this picture. Here's Gideon. And then this angel comes and appears to him and says to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Can you say that? Mighty man of valor. Mighty man of valor. But he's hiding. The nation is in chaos. They're not producing. There's no fruit, no return on their investment. They're struggling. He's hiding away in the corner and he's sorting out these wheat and things. Doesn't look so good. And then it says there, God appears to him and says, you mighty man of valor. And he's thinking, what? You must be kidding me. It doesn't look like it. I'm hiding away. I'm struggling here. And he says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And all that Gideon is saying, seeing we're oppressed, we're struggling, it's not good, it's not producing, I'm really having a hard time here. But you say the Lord is with us. It doesn't look like it. In verse 11 it says, Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all these miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt, but now the Lord has forsaken us, delivered us?" He's sort of saying, you must be kidding me. Have you ever felt like that? You're reading the Bible, you're reading what's written in the scriptures, and you realize, but God, where are you? Where are the miracles? Have you ever felt like that? You're reading it, you're seeing Jesus healed the sick. You're reading the apostles and they healed the sick, and this happened and this miracle happened. And now you're saying, you know, you're looking at your circumstances around you, saying, God, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel as if you're almighty. It doesn't seem like you're all powerful, Lord. I know it says in the scriptures. And Gideon is like saying the same. God, I've heard about the miracles, but I'm not seeing it. And Lord, my grandparents, everybody told us the awesome stuff you've done, but God, I'm not seeing it. And you said you're going to bless us, Lord, but now I'm looking at our country and we're impoverished and we're struggling and it's not, hello, it's not working, Lord. Where are you? I don't know if you ever felt like that. But say every now and again, when you're going through your dip and your back is against the wall, you're thinking, Lord, where are you? What's happening? And that's usually the time where God starts moving. You see, God looks at things differently than we do. And it's usually the darkest just before the dawn. It's usually the darkest just before the dawn. It's that time where you actually want to give up. You don't know anymore. And then verse 14, Gideon is going through his whole thing of saying, oh God, where are you? You must be kidding me. This isn't working. Miracles. Almighty. Yes, sure. And then verse 14, God ignores him and says, go in this might of yours. Excuse me. Didn't you not just, Lord, don't be disrespectful or anything, but didn't you just hear my complaints and all the situation and everything? And then God just says, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. See, have I not sent you? And that's sort of when you go to the crazy house and you book yourself in. I must be dreaming. I must be crazy. Lord, this can't be the voice of God. And so Gideon was struggling, saying, Lord, if this is you, I quickly want to... So he went through a few tests. He brought offerings and then did another thing and then the fleece. He wanted to make sure, is this the voice of God or not? And when we were praying on Monday night, as I was just dropping into my heart about stepping into the God dimension, you see, Gideon went on to turn the whole of Israel on its head. 300 of them basically slaughtered 120,000. That's basically what it comes down to. So God did what he said. But I realized on Monday night, I just felt the Lord telling me in my heart that if you and I want to step into the God dimension, there's a key. We need to hear his voice. You and I need to hear the voice of God. And be sure that it is the voice of God. It's not so simple. So in April, I'm going to continue. I want to speak more about actually living in the God dimension, hearing the voice of God. But we need to hear the voice of God. Okay, so that's sort of breaking out of the curse. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. Breaking out of the curse. The idea is to hear the voice of God. Let me give you an example. Because if we do not hear the voice of God, we can miss him. I remember when we were at Stellenbosch, and I felt God in my heart. It's not a voice, audible voice. Just in my heart, I felt God saying to me, you're going to move to Tigerberg, Belleville area. And so make preparations. Make preparations. And I felt the Holy Spirit sharing with me, I need to buy a house. We were renting at the time. And I felt we should buy a house. And then we looked at different houses. And we got a house there, and a few houses, plot and plan, and they asked 350,000 rand for a three-bedroom, double garage, inside braai, outside braai. That was before the increase in prices. And so we were looking at the houses we could have signed. We're not sure, but I felt God telling me we're going to move here. Anyway, so I had a meeting with our leaders, and the leadership of the church told us, let me spell it to you out. You are not going to Bellville. You're not going to Tigerberg. N-O-T, not. Not. So I thought, oh, I must have missed the Lord, so I let that go. The buying of the house and all those things. Anyway, 6 months later, we moved to Bellville. And so we just decided to rent for a bit. And then all the prices went. I lost about 350,000 rand because I didn't listen to God. How's that for a good lesson? Because the house has doubled in value within 2 years. It went to 700 plus thousand rand. Anyway, so then you learn the hard way. You're saying, okay, Lord, next time, where do you want me to sign? I'll jump, Lord. Wherever, whenever, I'll jump. And I remember this other guy, Jack Deere, is a preacher, and he tells of at the late 1990s, 98, 99, he says he was riding horse somewhere, coming back to where he wanted to be, and he felt in his heart God telling him, sell your stock, your shares. Sell your shares. And he thought, no, that's probably just my own thoughts. Anyway, like a month later, the IT stock crash happened. The bubble just burst. I don't know if you remember that. Some of you might. I don't know. Business people might. But anyway, so he also didn't sell his shares, but he learned that he should have listened. I'm sharing this with you because that is for me the God dimension. That is for me a different paradigm. There's somebody up there that sees the whole picture. He sees what is coming. He knows what is going to happen. And you and I can tap into the supernatural if we would just hear his voice, if we would just listen to his voice. So there's a scripture, Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. This is critical for stepping into the God dimension, specifically concerning our work and then finances. It says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. You see, God has been busy with this process of redemption. The ground has been cursed, but now God made a way through which you and I can tap into his resources, where the curse is removed and we walk into the blessing of God. Now, I want to explain to you the word power. He who gives you power to get wealth. The word is, you speak it out as koach. And the word means capacity or ability, whether physical, mental, or spiritual. God provides the ability, the power, the means, the endurance, the capacity to obtain wealth. Or in other words, to work hard, to work effectively, to do the best with what has been placed in your hands. It is a God-given ability. It comes from God. God empowers you and me to create wealth. God empowers you and me to be effective with the talents and the gifts he has put within our hands. So I want to sort of give you a little parable. Who saw the movie The Matrix? Come on, I'm sure some of you have. Okay, it's not a Christian movie, so I'm not promoting the values or the theology or the philosophy behind it. But I want to use something that comes out of it. The picture, please. Yes. That's why my shades look very much like I'm a wannabe. Anyway, so The Matrix, for those who don't know how it works, it's a movie, it's about a world where there's a computer simulation happening. And all of humanity is plugged into this thing, and we don't actually realize this is a computer simulation. But some know, and some are taken out of this computer simulation into the real world. And in that real world, they then come back to save the people from the slavery. They come back to set the people free. But then they sort of tap into power beyond what the average person there would know. And then if you see the next picture, as they move into this computer simulated world, there would be these agents, Mr. Anderson. And these agents would hunt them. And so they would be running around and diving through windows and do all sorts of funny stuff. And then there would be guys in the real world behind the scenes. And they'd be sitting at a screen like this. And they just see all these things. It doesn't make any sense. And then they are able to speak into the simulated world and explain to them, turn left at the next corner, run up these stairs, go there. You need, that's where the door is to get out there. And so their lives depend upon the information that they get from the real world. Okay, so let me bring it home. I know it's very deep. It's the same in a sense for us. You and I, we only have this amount of abilities and resources to our for our work and for our lives. But there is a God in eternity. That is actually the real world. This world will fade away. That's what the scripture says. At some stage, it will be burned up and God will make a new heavens and a new earth, perfect, sinless. And so there is this God that loves us. And he is on the other side, but also on this side. And so he speaks to us and wants to help us and wants to guide us and wants to tell us, now go there. That project, do not know, do it like that. Do not marry that woman. Marry that one. Or whatever. But because you want to marry the right person in the end. So, you know, but God is there too. I'm not talking about relationships now. But God is there to guide us and lead us. This is so important to understand. You and I become blind people. You see a blind beggar? I'm going to show an example now of that. But a blind beggar, do you think a blind beggar can be productive in terms of work? In terms of life? Not really. But if you and I are unable to hear the voice of God, if you and I are unable to know the direction that God is leading us, we're going to miss it. We're going to be shooting in the dark. We're going to hope for the best results. And that is not what God wants. So if you look at this, breaking out of the curse, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 11. If you and I want to be effective in life, we need to move into a place where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are active in our lives. It says there, but the manifestation of this of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Profit of all. You see a nice picture there again. This is my theme the last while. You are a man with a hose pipe. And it says that the gifts of the Spirit are there for the profit of all. So you and I can be a channel through which life can be distributed to people around us. But specifically the gifts of the Spirit. And so many people do not know about this, do not live in it. Even those who know about it do not actually walk in it. But I really believe God wants us to walk in it. So if you look at the scriptures, it continues. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's for it to be a blessing. For to one is given the word of wisdom. Now, what is a word of wisdom? A word of wisdom is you coming to a place in your life, there are three roads in front of you. They all look the same. You don't know which one. Who are you going to ask? You must ask him. You must ask God to give you direction. To say left. And then you go that way. So that is the one. The word of wisdom. It is supernatural. There's no way that you can know. There's no human being can tell you it. It is supernatural. It comes out of the perspective of God Almighty, who sees the whole picture. And he says to you, the left one, because the second one, there's a crocodile there. And the other one, oh, big lion, left. Okay? And then you go left. And then the next one, it says, to another, the word of knowledge. That's like buy a house. Or sell now. word of knowledge. There's no way that you can know what is coming. To another, faith by the same Spirit. It's faith is like seeing into the spirit realm. It's seeing what nobody else sees. It's like with Gideon. It doesn't look good. It looks as if this nation is in chaos. It looks as if God has left us. But I have a word. God has spoken to me and he says, it's going to turn. So I have this faith. Then another, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, etc. But the Holy Spirit is our guide that is supposed to show us the way. If you truly want to win at work, I believe that the gift of the Spirit is the key to launch yourself into the God dimension. I truly believe that. It is the key to launch you into the God dimension, the way where God gives us creative things. I once heard about a man that actually he had dreams. He was a scientist, but also sort of an inventor. And it says, as I understand how the story goes, he would dream at night, and then he would see a picture of this little disc thingy. Like in the 70s, late 70s or beginning 80s. And then he would develop this little thing, and then it became the compact disc, the CD. But he came from a dream. And other things like it. It was, God is the source of all knowledge and all creativity, and so he imparts to us knowledge that we should not know. So if you say you lavender blue and you Karen, and God could give you this amazing new dish for this place that would just cause everybody to want to, if you tasted it, it's the secret Karen ingredient there. And it just blows the minds of people. Woo-hoo. Or maybe you're an artist and you, it's interesting. You know, you can get creative inspiration from God where you can actually see in your mind's eye where you connect into the spiritual. Have you looked at nature recently? There's an amazing designer behind it. A creativity that the most beautiful colors and things upon animals. It's just amazing. Now, how about tapping into that and then painting? How about tapping into that, God giving you creativity that you've just never heard or seen? Or music. There are many people that say that, especially Christians who write Christian music, they would say that they believe that the songs are already written. It's in eternity. And all you do is the song is coming by and you sort of hear it with your spirit. And then you put it on paper and it changes many lives. You know, tapping into God. The gifts of the Spirit. But we need to listen to God's voice. So we need to pursue it. Okay, so I just want to end off with this one picture of a blind man. Blind Bartimaeus. In Mark 10, verse 46 to 52. Now you need to see this. Because if you do not see yourself to be the blind beggar, your place and your state might not change. So let's look at it. It says there in the first verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. So he was sitting by the Yeah, that's a pastor's never wrong. Sitting by the road. And he was sitting by the road. And it says he was begging, and this crowd of people were coming by. I mean, it was a happening. There's lots of things happening, and the blind man was sitting by the side, and he doesn't know what's happening. He's saying, hello, what's happening? What's happening? Who's here? What's happening? I hear all this commotion, but I don't know what's happening. And then it says there, and when he heard that he was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. How about that? He's sitting by the side of the road and he hears that Jesus is coming by. And suddenly he starts crying out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Why was he crying? He heard. He heard that Jesus can do miracles. He heard that Jesus can heal the blind. He heard about it. And so now he's crying out And the point I want to draw out of this, are you happy with your current state? Are you happy of living sort of in a spiritual blindness where you do not know what's happening tomorrow? You do not know that you don't have direction for your life. You feel a little bit of like you're shooting in the dark. You feel like a spiritual blind person. I don't know. I'm just going through this. I'm saying, God, I want to hear your voice and I want to see. I need it, Lord. I don't want to be like a blind person just trying my best. And it says there, when he heard it was Jesus, he cried out. And then it says next verse 48, then many warned him to be quiet. They warned him to be quiet. Do you know what will happen the moment you want to step out of your little box? You see, the enemy, like with Gideon, he puts them in a little place in the corner, even in our workplace, in our lives. The life and the world tells us, this is who you are, there you shall find yourself, and don't even think of getting out. Don't even think of hoping or believing that your circumstances can change. That's where you are. You're a blind man, for goodness sake. Be quiet. Make a peace with it. Be quiet. You're blind. You're blind. You're blind. You're blind. You're blind. And so then this resistance comes. So if you want to step into the God dimension, know that there will be resistance. You will be labeled. You will be called a name. You will be said, that's just silly. Weird people want to hear the voice of God. And then it goes on and it says there, many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David. So he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he said, no, I'm not going to take this. I want to hear the voice of God. I want to see. I want to see. And then he goes on and says, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. So there the call comes, and he comes. But look at this. Then throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Throwing aside his garment represented his identity. It represented if he had a specific garment, if you saw the garment, you say, blind man, blind man. And so many of us do the same. We have our garments on. You know, I'm not spiritual, you know. God doesn't have a big plan for my life. Yeah, I'm not supposed to hear God's voice. No, miracles should never happen. I mean, I'm not that type of person, you know. And maybe the pastor or maybe the other super preacher on TV. But me, you know, I am just a normal, ordinary, nobody Christian. Or maybe not even a Christian. Just an ordinary nobody. What is the cloak that you have on? Is there a cloak that you have on? Anyway, so he was throwing aside his garment. And he rose and he came to Jesus. And so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And I believe God is asking us the same question this evening. What do you want me to do for you? Are you happy to be blind? Oh, Lord, can I have 5 rand, please? Okay, here's 5 rand, but you're still blind. What are you asking God? Because the Bible says, if you ask amiss, you will not receive. Ask, and you shall receive. So what do you want me to do for you? And then the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And basically said, my Lord, I want to receive my sight. And then Jesus healed him, and he saw. And that's sort of just a picture that's been with me this whole week. I'm saying, God, I want to see. Lord, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to know the path that you set before me and doubt it in no way. God, I want to step into the God dimension where that which is scriptural manifests here and now around me. How about you? You happy to be blind, to be in the dark, or to be clueless, or just to work with your own resources, your own abilities? Or do you actually want to tap into God's abilities? I believe the key from blind Bartimaeus is the following. You really need to want it. You really need to want it. You need to say, I am not happy as is. My spiritual experience, man, it's boring. It's dry. It's not happening. Well, just say it then. Lord, I don't know you. I've heard about you. But it doesn't feel like face to face. It doesn't feel intimate. It doesn't feel real. I feel like a blind man sitting next to the street and everybody's passing me by and you yourself. And I missed it. I missed it. Are you missing it? And it's amazing. The last verse there, it says, then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. Let me say that again. Your faith has made you well. Can you say that? My faith has made me well. What does that mean? That means if you put your trust in God. That's what the blind beggar did. He cried and said, I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to settle for this. I'm not satisfied with my current experience. So my question for you is, and I'm ending off with this. Spiritually speaking, where are you at? Are you tapping into the gifts of the Spirit? Are you hearing the voice of God? Or are you like a blind man sitting at the street corner and life is moving past and you're just missing out? I'm trying to trusting that something inside of you will stir in your heart where you, when you go to work on Tuesday, if you're working, to say, God, I want to tap into your resources. Lord, I want to be at work, and I know I have this employee that's really giving me lots of grief, and there's lots of issues, but God, I just want to hear your voice about this person. I just want to know your heart, your plan for this one. And I just want to speak into their lives, a word that will change them forever. That's not very radical. But are we asking God for that? Or maybe the greatest miracle for you will just be to, Lord, as I go to work, Lord, just help me to love somebody. Because I'm actually really irritated with everybody at work. They are frustrating me. And then, trust me, if you don't like them, God can't work through you. You need to love the people. And that might be the first start for you of stepping into the God dimension, where somebody that is so irritating, should irritate you out of your mind, you just want to hug them and say, man, I like you. I love you. Now, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. Or maybe there are walls around our hearts where, you know, we're just afraid to live. Afraid of getting hurt ourselves, so we struggle to live. We struggle to love. We struggle to receive love. We're like a blind man in an emotional level. Can't give, can't receive love. So I want to invite us, in a sense, this evening to step into the God dimension. How? By trust. Put your trust in Jesus and say, Lord, I'm not going to look to my own resources anymore. It's you I want. You are the answer. I need you. Let's just close our eyes. I just want to pray for us. Father God, this evening, Lord, we come to you. And we acknowledge, Lord, we say, God, we've heard about the miracles. And we've heard of what you've done in the past, Lord, and we've heard of what you do in other nations, God. And we realize, Lord, that the conclusion is maybe we're not listening. Maybe we're not heeding your voice. Maybe we are not following you in the way that you desire us to. And so, God, this evening, we just want to open our hearts, Lord. We want to open our hearts to the truth. And maybe we're blind spiritually. Maybe we're spiritually incapacitated. Maybe we're disconnected from your awesome resources, Lord God. Now we so want out. We so want in to your glory, into the God dimension. Lord, we declare this evening we've not arrived. We declare this evening we're falling far short from what the scriptures speak of. But we want that which is God. Hallelujah. So I just want to ask if it sort of resonates in your heart what I've shared, and you feel that you really want the gift of the Spirit in your life and you really want to step into the God dimension, but you feel like, man, I'm like that blind beggar. If that's you, could you be so bold just to stand so we can pray for you? If you want to step into the God dimension, if you want the gift to operate in the gift of the Spirit, and you just feel that you're not there, you're just really out of it, be so bold just to stand. I just want to pray for us. Father, we bless your name. God, we bless your name. I'm already standing. Blessed be the name of Jesus. It just starts by desiring. It just starts by acknowledging it. Lord, we bless your name. And we welcome you here, Lord. Thank you, God, that we can say, it doesn't look good, but we can hear the voice of our God saying, go in this might of yours, O mighty man of valor, O mighty woman of valor. So if you'd be so bold as to, if you're standing or you're sitting, you're welcome to pray along. Just a prayer of consecration. Just repeat after me. And say, Father God, Lord, I acknowledge this day that I'm not living in the God dimension. Lord, I'm not operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm not hearing your voice in the way you want me to. So Lord, this day, just like blind Bartimaeus, I cry out to you and I say, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Lord, we want to hear your voice. Lord, we want to know your guidance. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And Lord, I choose today to put my trust in you and to follow your voice. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can all of us stand, please? Maybe we can just end off with that song, Our God is Great. Great is our God, or something like that. There was something about great. And let's just, to end off this series, let's just really commit the workplace into God's hands. And trust Him to tap into His resources. For He is great. Hallelujah. Thank you.
darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me.
As we were worshiping now, I just felt that there's some of us that really struggle with fear, in a sense. Fear. I don't know what form of fear, anxiety, maybe it's in the workplace, maybe it's something else. As our eyes just close, if there's somebody like that, would you raise your hand? I'm not going to call you forward. I just want to pray for you. Okay. Thank you. You can drop your hand. Okay. There's quite a few of us that struggle with fear. Father, we pray for those, Lord, who raise their hands, Lord, and we pray for our hearts, Lord. Lord, we speak to the fear, and we silence the voice of fear right now. Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, speak to the fear and we just silence it. We pray, God, that you'll replace the fear with trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Set us free from fear, Lord. Set us free from fear in the name of Jesus. Oh God, lead us to the Word. Lead us to your promises. Lead us to the Scriptures, Lord. Where we can find peace. We can find joy. Even as you spoke to Gideon and you said to him, I am the Lord, your peace, Jehovah Shalom. We pray that God over our lives, Lord. Jehovah Shalom. Peace. May we know that we can just fall back into the faithful, trustworthy arms and hands of the living God. He will catch us. So we speak to the fear and we say, fear, anxiety, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, leave. It's not the will of God for us. it's not the will of God for His children. And we pray, God, just for an impartation of grace. In Jesus' name. And I also just feel in my heart, if you really to struggle to either love or forgive somebody, maybe there's a name that pops up in your mind right now. Somebody that failed you, dropped you, disappointed you. Maybe somebody at work, maybe family. And you're just really struggling to forgive this person. You're really struggling to love this person. As our eyes are closed, would you be so bold as to raise your hand? Anybody? Lord, we bless your name. God, we bless your name. Okay. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this evening, Lord. Thank you for your grace. God, will you send each and every one of us here with a blessing, Lord, in this to this week, Lord. Lord, may we rest tomorrow and may we win at work in the days and the weeks to come. God, we expect you to be at work. We expect you to help us. We expect you to strengthen us. We expect you to empower us in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people say, Amen. Amen.